Welcome to More Than a Song. Our show's focus is on West Texas music singers and songwriters, offstage and on the air. I'm your host, Kerry Banks, with producer Chuck Luck. Today, we'll be talking with West Texas musician, singer, and songwriter, Joy Harris. Welcome to More Than a Song.
Thank you guys for having me.
What brought you originally to Lubbock, Texas?
My family moved here when I was about five. My dad was a preacher, moved around Texas my early years, and then we settled here. I've been based out of Lubbock ever since.
So you grew up going to church and playing music all the time in church?
Both my grandfathers and my father, they were all preachers. Definitely grew up with the church music responsibility.
When did you first start playing music?
I started asking my folks for piano lessons when I was about four. The last place we moved before here was Midland, and I got in with a piano teacher in Midland. And then when we moved here, I kept up with it. There was an old beat-up piano at my granny's house. I was persistent with it. So we found a teacher here that was one of my mentors throughout. Her name is Candy Sisson, and she's still teaching. She's awesome.
At what point in your music career that early did you know this is what you want to do?
Music has always been part of my spirit, part of my soul. My parents like to tell the story that I was a baby. I was probably toddler age, maybe 18 months or so, and we were driving somewhere. My dad, in his early days, before he was a minister, he was a jazz musician. He played the Hammond B3. How he ended up in Lubbock was he was doing the Air Force, you know, the recruitment tour for the musicians whenever he was getting out of Vietnam. They came to Tech, and Tech had choir called Black Voices, which my mom was in. He was very particular about the music that we listened to. His collection was, to me, was stellar. It shaped my ears. He was playing, I forget what he said the song was, but he looked up in the rearview mirror as we were driving in the car, and he said, "Your little eyes was closed," and he was like, "You were hearing the music," and I was a baby. And so he was like, uh-oh, because he remembered what he was like when he was running amok. Couldn't help it. Music, it's like my happy place. It's my sanctuary.
When did you get incorporated into playing in church?
My first job was the minister of music for my grandfather, the late Reverend C.L. Harris, at Macedonia Baptist Church in Smyre. And I was eight, and basically I was responsible for playing the hymns for Sunday morning and playing for a little choir. Whenever I was 15, then I started playing for my dad's church, and I was the minister of music at New Zion Baptist Church over here on 19th and MLK while he was there.
Were you reading music at this time, or you just were learning to play by ear?
I had the benefit of getting both worlds at the same time. Didn't realize how much of a gift that was until I got to like college. Of course, the ear thing, because I would pick out the songs that I wanted to learn. So learning how to do the dictation, the melody thing, just by hearing it. And then also in the Black church, the tradition of how you teach the parts to the choir. I spent a lot of time with the minister of music at the previous church in Midland, watching the choir director like giving all the four parts out and hearing those chords and how it worked. That's how I learned songs, is I would listen to the bass and the soprano and the inner parts, and then I'd figure out the chords from there. So ear first, and then whenever I got into piano lessons, I used ear as a crutch, and Miss Sisson broke me of it. You know, the little piano books, the little songs are pretty simple compared to the things that I was picking out on my own. There was one week I didn't really practice well. She would play the little songs to show me whatever techniques she wanted me to focus on, and she played the example for me. Well, I just played back what I heard, but my music was upside down on the piano. So I was busted.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she said, "Okay, I'm never playing anything else for you again." And it forced me to read. And so I'm grateful for that because, yeah, she busted me, man.
Were you in junior high school choirs and bands as well?
I was in band and choir all throughout high school. Band, I was a percussionist. And then I went on to Tech to study percussion performance. Choir throughout. In high school, some buddies of mine, we formed this garage band. And that's whenever I got to pick up the bass. That's when it all changed. So our first band was called P&W Brown, because we were a praise and worship band and, you know, kids. As we got older in high school, we wanted to cross over into the secular realm, and we changed the name to Forever Days with my buddies Sean Pace and Brad Hutchison. Sean played Cashmere for me by Led Zeppelin. That was a life-changing moment, and yeah, the bass guitar, baby.
What are some of the other bands and musicians that influenced your early career?
With my dad being a preacher, he was very particular about the music, which is why classical and jazz, he didn't mind being played around the house because it's instrumental. He's very particular about lyrics. He He was a huge Donnie Hathaway fan. So I grew up listening to a lot of Donnie Hathaway, a lot of the Motown stuff. Things, you know, that he deemed safe. Then Walkman came along and headphones, and he couldn't always hear what I was listening to. And then I went off into a neo-soul branch, like Erykah Badu, D'Angelo, Jill Scott, Wu-Tang Clan, Busta Rhymes, all this stuff. I had never heard rock or blues music really extensively, except for little things here and there. Whenever I got in high school with Sean, and he played me that recording of Kashmir, and I was like, what is that sound? So Led Zeppelin, Stevie Ray Vaughan, I remember hearing that and just freezing, like, okay, that's cool. Guy Clark, I fell in love with the storytelling. Growing up, though, bands like the Yellow Jackets, Jimmy Smith, Jaco Pastorius, anything that James Jamerson was on. There's two types of music, good and bad. So as long as it was good music, I was happy.
You went to Tech to study basically as a percussion major.
Percussion performance, basically orchestral percussion. Spent a lot of time playing with the symphony around town. Studied under the late Alan Shen and Dr. Lisa Rogers. I joked that they were like white mom and dad, you know. Whenever I was 15, when he was recruiting for Tech, I was an all-stater in like the band thing. So he was recruiting me for Tech with the percussion and the jazz deal.
Did you most enjoy playing drum set or timpanis or mallets?
Okay. So the percussion thing for me is cool because I'm someone who gets stagnant and gets bored, and there's so many instruments to master. Going back to the Led Zeppelin, we were playing piece in our percussion ensemble called Bonham, paying tribute to John Bonham of Led Zeppelin. So I did a deep dive back when you went out and searched CDs, and they had this Led Zeppelin tribute album. I didn't realize it was a tribute album. I thought it was Zeppelin, the music of Zeppelin by the London Philharmonic Symphony. And I thought it was so cool that there was an orchestra mixing with the rock world, and I wore that CD out. So yes, the percussion deal, just how it translates to all different genres.
Let's give a listen to Joy Harris' cool jazz ballad, Beautiful.
I've never felt this way before, and I love it, I love it, it's beautiful to me, in this multiverse of stars and galaxies, beware of certain entities.
We'll be right back to continue our conversation with Joy Harris on More Than a Song on 89.1. Welcome back to More Than a Song. We're speaking with Joy Harris. Joy, you are the consummate musician here in Lubbock, Texas. You do everything. And when you play solo, especially, we see your influence from the percussion angle. You got these loop stations going. You got the beat going, rhythm going, the melody going, the vocals going. The percussion influences all of that.
Yes. People see me play the loop station deal. That definitely comes out of my percussion and orchestral background, because being a percussionist in the back of an orchestra, you get to listen a lot because we're not always playing. So it really helped shape my ears on listening to the whole arrangement. And whenever I'm doing my loop solo thing, it's kind of what I'm trying to recreate with the balancing of how I'm getting the drum sounds on my bass, thinking about the bass line, chords, melody, lead line, make it all interesting. It's like I'm five different people.
It sounds like a full band. Speaking of bands, what are some of the early bands you were with here in Lubbock?
In college, I played with a lot of different Texas country acts, touring around the state of Texas vibe, and then a few jazz bands, too.
You also played a lot of shows on various instruments at the Cactus Theater.
I played in the Rhythm Machine, definitely a lot of different styles of music on bass, and I did some drumming there, you know, whatever they need to happen.
And all this time, you're also writing music.
I started writing songs whenever I was a kid, and I still have some tapes of like early songs I wrote. Forever Days, for example, we won the Battle of the Bands that was going on the 4th on Broadway, playing our original stuff, you know, just teenager grunge rock type stuff.
As a songwriter, where is your art drawn from?
The inspiration comes from all of the dimensions that I'm experiencing, whether it be what's going on, what I see socially or just interpersonally, or what I'm working on musically. Like my early songs, because I discovered Zeppelin and Metallica were more rock focused. Some of the stuff I'm working on now, I'm learning tabla. So it's like the Eastern school of thinking about music. And then if I'm just hanging out with some homeboys by a campfire, it can have the country vibe. It's just whatever's going on.
You are in town, what is called first call musicians. When somebody needs a bass player for the recording session, Joy Harris is the first call. What were some of your early experiences in the recording studio?
The first session I think I was on, one at Don Caldwell's, when I was playing with the Rhythm Machine, and he worked me into his studio. And then I went out and was doing some session work out at Alan Crossland's too. And one of the first sessions I ever did out there was with the late Doug Smith. And I will never forget those sessions because they were so much fun. All the other outside influence, the orchestral, the piano thing, was very much an advantage in being able to pick up things, execute things quickly. So it was valuable because one or two passes and we're good.
You have a very unique vocal style. When did that start developing and what was the catalyst for that?
Of course, growing up in church and in choir, I had that background, but I've never really wanted to be the lead singer. Really what made me focus on it were two things. A, when Lubbock kind of changed, the band pay for clubs kind of went down. I saw the advantage of being able to sing and play myself, so that's one less person you have to hire. And then all my guitar player friends, they were playing solo gigs. I was like, I could do this too. So learning songs to play solo sets. And then, of course, when you're recording things, hearing those vocals back, oh, it's rough. It's like, okay, I should probably pay attention to the sounds coming out of my mouth.
Well, and you're very unique in the solo world. In that you don't play guitar or piano on your solo gigs. You play the six-string bass.
Her name is Vicious. She's okay. My best friend. Instead of having a haul out of 88 keyboard and a bass rig and everything, I'm like, let me see if I can figure out some of these chords on the bass. One less thing to drag into the gig, you know?
And you play literally all styles of music.
That's the beauty of being a musician. Like, it's always different. I love to switch genres. It keeps it fresh for me, and I really enjoy that.
What is the main difference for you approaching a gig, solo artist, versus playing with a band?
The solo gigs, it's more like I'm thinking like someone who's driving a stick, a car. As far as the looping, I have to have, or at least be in tune with anticipating what's going to come next. In contrast, I love getting to play with a band because then I just get to be a bass player. That setting is all about groove and the pocket, yeah.
When you go into the studio, what are you looking for? What are you trying to accomplish?
Different projects have different inputs, so I'm always flexible because I learned early, don't go in expecting it to go the way you hear it in your head. The different artists that contribute are going to change it. The project that I'm working on now, basically I flew in a couple of buddies from New York, Alwyn Robinson and Andrew Ambanez. We played together in a jazz trio running around at Tech. Even if we don't see each other for like a year or two, it's like, boom. So I came in with the ideas. We play for a little bit, had Alan Crossland just go red, give us a click, and then we just create because we're comfortable playing with each other that way. I don't go in with a preconceived, like, this is the thing. I'm very open to the process.
Do you consider yourself a producer?
On some projects, I have functioned as a producer. My dad, one of the things he taught me was to listen to the whole track from top to bottom. People that don't listen to the tracks with the bass up, that bothers me, just FYI. Because I want to hear the whole spectrum of the track. I want to be able to hear when the string's coming out or whenever that. I want to hear all of those nuances.
What would you consider one of your better songs from your early to mid part of your songwriting career?
One of the earlier songs that got rebirthed was this tune called Fade. The concept, the meat of it, was written whenever I was about 17. And it resurged a few years ago. And I'm like, man, it's crazy. I still feel the same way. But it's got those rock, heavy kind of elements in it. I would say that one for sure.
So let's hear a little bit of that.
Driving
back to continue our conversation with Joy Harris on More Than a Song on 89.1. Welcome back to More Than a Song. Our guest today is Joy Harris. Tell us just a few of the organizations and the groups and the activities and events that you're involved in.
It's always been important to me to work in my community. So I first got involved with the Roots Historic Arts Council back when the late founder, Eric Strong, started the Caprock Jazz Festival. The Caprock Jazz Festival is like the fundraiser for the Roots. That festival kind of funds all the organization's operations like the African American Museum of History, the Community Center, and the Community Gardens. Another organization is Lubbock Live. We're planning for a third year, and that organization donates 65% of our profits every year to a different nonprofit to help facilitate the arts. And then the Buffalo Grass Festival. Lubbock got its Texas Music Friendly Community certification. Rock star Stacy Keith, she put together this awesome committee that you know because you're involved too. We focus on fostering musical growth, empowering young and upcoming musicians with basically all the information that, you know, we all wish somebody had talked to us about when we were 16.
You were also involved in the Lubbock Centennial Event concert. Talk about working with Mac Davis and some of those awesome stars.
Man, what an honor to be asked to be involved with that. Got to learn more about some of the true giants that are from here. I didn't know who Mac Davis was before because I didn't grow up listening to it. We were at one of the dress rehearsals for that performance. We were all in the green room just hanging out, and Mac was sitting playing songs and telling stories. And I walked in and he was ribbing me. He was teasing me like, "Hey, you, I like you. Do you like playing my music?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's music." He's like, "Is it enough notes for you?" Because he kind of got that I was the jazz cat. And I was like, "Hey, man, they're all notes. I got two types, good and bad music." And it's like, "All right, cool. Open that cooler, grab a beer and sit down." He started playing In the Ghetto. And I got to hear from his mouth the story of why he was influenced by that. And so we had a moment. I'll never forget that. I was like, "Man, you're cool with me. Like, you're cool."
Lubbock music scene now is, in my opinion, better than it's been since the 70s.
It's a gem, and we are kind of known as an incubator community. There's been so many musicians that have come through here. From my perspective, grungy, playing in all the bars, you know, the 17-year-old at the blue light kind of situation, all of the crazy late night hang stories. And then what I'm seeing now gives me so much hope because there's so much opportunity with the advent of all of ways to get your stuff out there on the internet. I'm based out of Lubbock, but my saying is, Lubbock is home base. The globe is my playground. The opportunities for the young people, I mean, there's so many places that are opening up that want music, not just the bars. You can play listening rooms, house concerts, actual showcases or performances, the hall. I mean, there's so much to do. And I just look forward to Lubbock's sound continuing to be immortalized because there's something out here.
Okay, there's a young 15-year-old girl that's really into music. What's your advice to her?
Follow your heart. If it's what you want to do and you've got a passion for the craft, set yourself up to do what you want to do. Lubbock Cultural Arts YouTube channel. We film modules of all of our little workshops that we do. Pick a topic, learn about it, like the publishing, the copywriting, intellectual property. Tech has a matriculated program with South Plains. That way, if you finish your degree out at South Plains, all of your hours transfer to Tech, and you can get that 4-year commercial music degree, which is huge. You can definitely go to school, study music, no matter what style you're playing. Now, if you set yourself up as a small business, either LLC, DBA, get all that business stuff behind you, then you've established yourself where 10 years from now, it's not like, "Oh, okay, now I got to figure this out." You started right. And even if you jump off and want to do something else, you know how to run a business. Be careful who you let into that inner realm, but enjoy the journey and meeting all the cool people because it's so much fun.
You have a new project coming out. Talk about one of the songs you most want to share with the audience.
Okay, so the song that I want to play for you to close out here today is, it's a tune called Something, and I'm going to demonstrate some of this loop building and the percussion influence and the whole track thing. We're going to start here with a drum part, tunes in 7. So it's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. Put a little subdivision on that. All right, here comes some chords, some color. Oh, yes. Bass line coming in. Something about being close to you that can move my entire day around.
You've shown me love and understanding when my sight is close to the ground. And I love you for that. I want to give you all the love I have for you inside. It drives me crazy the way you're haunting me. And I'll love you for the rest of my life. Yay. Why can't you hear me when I call to you? When I'm crying, broken and scared. Am I not clear when I sit next to you? Don't I sigh just to know you are there? I'm trying to tell you that my deepest thoughts are always about you. It drives me crazy the way you're haunting me. And I love you, yes, I love you, I just do, yay. Oh, oh, I love you. There's something about being close to you. Oh, 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 oh. There's something about being close to you. Something about being close.
Well, Joy, thank you so much for being on our show, More Than a Song. It's an honor to work with you. What a tremendous influence you are, especially for the younger musicians in this town. Thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm honored.
Thanks for listening to More Than a Song. I'm your host, Kerry Banks. This show was produced by Chuck Luck. Our guest today was Joy Harris. Join us next Friday morning for More Than a Song at 10:30 on 89.1. For more information on More Than a Song, and if you would like to hear previous episodes, visit ttupublicmedia.org.